This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two road meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. Cutlass, I gon' weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96, and you can listen in on Guardian 96.9 FM on your radio dial, and you can tune in to the show, and you can tune in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And again, I want to say a wonderful good evening to everyone. For those who are driving, please drive safe. Drive with caution, care, and get home safely. For those who are going out tonight, please watch your surroundings. Try as possible to avoid argument and dispute to your best of your ability so that you can make it back home. And for those who are out partying tonight also, a little reminder, you know, you're going out to have fun tonight, you know. So if you're going out to have fun tonight, go to have the fact that you're going to enjoy yourself and you're going to be in the company of many different people. And there will be little hiccups, but you have to be able to take certain things since you're going out. Because right now, our country is in serious mental health issues. With thousands of people in the country who go from 0 to 100. And that includes the majority of us who live in this country. So I just want to send this message out to just be patient, avoid altercation, arguments, to best your ability so that you may get home safely. And you probably can also save a life. All right? So tonight, we're going to talk about crime. We're going to talk about comments made by the Minister of National Security, Wayne Monroe, when he stated, you know, prepare for more police involved shooting. And many of us, like, got enraged by what kind of comments are we hearing coming from the Minister of National Security. I think the Commissioner of Police also commented on the fact. And we were wondering, why would he say such a thing? You know, we have had issues where we saw police, you know, the situation involving some shooting didn't really resonate with the Bahamian people and the public at large. So there was, you know, kind of distrust in many of the situations. In some cases, some of the shooting were justifiable. In some cases, the public feels that they were unjustifiable. And, you know, we're talking about the little guy in Mason, you know, a few years ago. And his family in Mason is still advocating for some type of justice. And they call it justice for D. And then we had one or two other incidents similar to D. And because of that, you know, we had scrutiny against the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And sometimes we said to ourselves, you know, we need transparency in our Royal Bahamas Police Force. And definitely we do. We need to look at the situation, analyze it, and see how we can put preventative measures in place to also protect the public. So many people, like, were upset or trying to figure out where our top officials, whether it's the politician or the commissioner of police, where they were coming from. Well, this is where they're coming from, okay? This is where they're coming from. And this is a result of neglect and the decision of young men who grouped together, and this is a choice they're going to make. And this leads back to the fact that they probably grow up in an environment that is not suitable for a child to be raised in. And many of these communities, like Mason Addition, Grandstand, Camp Road, Fox Hill, they don't have the equipment, right? The education, the opportunities, you know, the sports program, the church, you know, combined together, working in this community from January to December, nonstop. And because of this decay over the last 40 years and where we've seen the family value of completely deteriorated over the last 40 years with the drugs coming in the country and you scroll the family value, you know, each and every one right now in this country is really struggling to figure out what's the right thing and what's the right choice. And if we live in an environment that we see violence, we see police, we see people selling drugs, we see our aunties and our mothers and our uncles and cousins fighting and carrying on and cursing, our kids exposed to sleeping in a one-bedroom house, he or she seeing our mother or our daddy have multiple partners in and out the house. You know, we sometimes use our children as a smoke screen. We go in the food stores, we use our kids as distractions so we can steal stuff. Or when our kids bring something that do not belong to them, knowing that you did not buy it for them, and then bring it in the house and you encouraging these type of small, minor, infractions that you don't take as serious are actually very serious, okay? I want to say thanks to everyone who's on Facebook tonight. I see my good friend, YNN3579. I see Mr. Nemo, Tori, and Mr. Burroughs, a man, Burroughs, who has a wonderful farm down Carmichael Road. And what I'm trying to say is, with all these obstacles we are facing, with poverty, with the community don't have the right infrastructure, you know, these communities are not fit for growing up kids in these communities. And so we have to find ways on how we're going to empower the community by having sports program year-round, scholarships given out, having the church involved, having the police, neighborhood watch police, having the community leaders work year-round with the police, work with social service, work with the guidance counselor, you know, and it got to be a cohesive effort, all right? So the community, what I'm saying, is not fit for kids and teenagers to actually say they're going to be productive citizens unless we have the tools and the mechanism in this community centers, and et cetera. And we're working year-round. You know, we could find job opportunities and trades that we could be able to provide for these boys and girls that are grow up in this community. All right? So let me get back to the topic. So we are saying, you know, why? The reason why, if you just look at the recent criminal activities that have been happening in the last few months, but just let's look back 1 month back, all right? Let's go back 1 month back. And the statement was made the same time by the Minister of National Security and the Commissioner of Police. When they say, you know, be prepared for more police involved shooting. And the reason why, let's just go by the latest set of criminal elements that just recently happened. Okay, first thing I want to say, three were shot in a high-speed chase a few weeks ago, and there was an exchanging gunfire with police. It was reported that the police were attempting to pull over a Suburban-like vehicle. I think it was after 2 or 3 in the morning, and the sirens were on, and suspects decided to flee. And as the police gave chase with their sirens on, one of the occupants of that vehicle opened fire on the police. And then there was an exchange of gunfire between the occupants and the police. The vehicle eventually stopped by the QE Sports Center. And one of the suspects were able to evade police. Three others were found in the vehicle with gunshot wounds sustained from returning a fire from the police officers. So when the commissioner and the Minister of National Security were saying these things, this is what he's referring to, because based on the statistics and the data they've been receiving from years of research done by the Royal Bahamas Police Force and many incidents like this, they were able to say this is going to be a regular occurrence in the country. All right? So as a result, the three suspects were transported to the hospital. They received medical care, and now they are being processed by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Then we have our next scene. I can't remember what area, but I just read in the report. It was stated that around sometime of last week, there was a report of gunshots. And as officers reached on the scene where the gunshots were being reported, there was a young male laying down on the side of the road with apparent gunshot wounds to his body. They checked his body, and he was pronounced dead. Now, as the investigation began on this matter, it seems that the assailant who were on the ground, deceased, was shot by his friend. Both of them were in the process of taking out one of their enemy, and as they chased after the enemy, which he got away, one of the assailants who came to take his life was caught in the crossfire, and he was killed instead of the guy who they went to kill. Now, I listened to the report. Seems to me that he turned in himself, and he will be investigated by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And then, sadly but least, you know, all these matters are very serious matters. I want to send my condolences out to the family of the 4-year-old who was shot dead this week. I can only imagine the pain that his mom and dad and his grandmother and aunts are going through right now. I can't even imagine. You know, I felt it many times before. You know, I've had many of my family members killed, my brothers and my sisters. You know, I watched my grandmother pass away, my mom pass away. You know, my brothers and sisters were killed in a triple murder. And my grandmother died of natural causes. My mom died of complication of many different incurable disease. You know, and then many of my cousins were shot and killed. So I could understand the pain, you know, but the pain that a mother and father have to live with, you know, you're sitting on in the car, peaceful neighborhood. You just probably just want to get some fresh air. You might have some Kentucky in the car, so you just want to sit down with your girlfriend or your wife. You know, it might be hot, so you just want to sit down and probably turn on the AC in the car, you know, just to chill out for a little while to get out of the house, you know, sitting on the car. Because sometimes in the night, it'd be very beautiful in the neighborhood. You know, you can listen to sometimes you can hear, like, the little crickets. You know, you can hear the insects. You know, it's just so beautiful sometimes. So late in the night, like, even around 8, 9, 10, and you're just sitting on, and you can see some insects. You can see some birds, like owls and et cetera, you know. So it's good, you know, for people to live that type of life. So you can imagine just coming outside just to get some fresh air. Only to see, she's looking through your windshield. You know, you just looking, and you could see a gunshot firing off, and then you could see the chase after somebody. And this person just running in your direction, or just running straight down the road, and these two guys just running after him, just blam, 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 blam. Now, these guys can't see nobody. They're not expert shooters, you know. They're not in the firing range. Don't 9mm, what kind, these extended clips. Or it could be a regular 9mm with a clip that just carry 15, but the guys, them who have these firearms, they're not trained expert. Like how the Royal Bahamas Police Force are trained expert. You know, they go in the firing range and they shoot so they can be able to hit their target so that they're in a crowded environment where there's people and the target is running. They know either to shoot or don't shoot. And if they do shoot, they feel with all their ability they can hit that target. And these young men just shoot at this next young gentleman. And not knowing to them, an innocent four-year-old, an innocent young lady, and an innocent young man are sitting in this car, and how they're going to change their lives forever. And one of the gunshots goes through the windshield, and it strikes the four-year-old in the arms of the mother. You know the trauma with the young lady is going to be going through for the rest of her days. The blood that was on her hand, she is going to wash that and wash that. And even when she washed it off, that still is going to be there in her mind. So when she looks at her hand, she's going to keep that shirt or that pants, and she's never going to get rid of it. And the blood that she tries to, that she washes off her wrists and her hands, even though it'll be washed away in her mind and in her soul, it'll be a remembrance that she'd never, ever forget in her whole entire life. It is something that we would never, ever forget in our whole entire life. Listen to the Nassau Guardian. You're hearing the father say, I'm not a father anymore. It's a Tori Nemo saying, you know, that's traumatizing. So for this young lady and this young man, they're going to need counseling. They're going to need assistance from the country, you know. And the father speaking, and the aunt of the victim, saying that they want justice. So when you're saying what the commissioner or what the Minister of National Security was referring to, this is what he's referring to. Because when the police officers, seeing the kind of firearms that are on the streets, seeing the type of hardened young criminals out there who ain't playing no games, they're seeing the serious charges that these young gentlemen are getting charged before the courts, and they know the dangers. So when they're getting briefed by police headquarters from their superiors, and they're saying, you know, look, we done to 80 murders in the country, you know. And there was much more shooting than the 80 murders, because what we must understand this, even though we could be hitting 80 murders, we still had people who got shot, you know, who didn't die, you know, attempted murder. And if we look at that, that could be anywhere from around about 40, 50 persons who lives were attempted to be taken away by someone who they have a disagreement with, someone who, you know, probably a deal went bad, or boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, wife, romantic, some kind of, you know, it only boils down to about 10 different things that you're going to probably die for. And then it's like this, a square away bullet. A square away bullet is for a person who's not involved in none of the affairs. They wasn't involved in the affairs of the two young men who were shooting at a young gentleman. You know, they just were sitting on minding their own business. But once the bullet comes with the gun, it could go anywhere. And it could take the life of any living human being, you know, in that vicinity, inside a house, inside a car, or someone who just walk in the street. You know? So the police, when they live with police headquarters, they're gonna be armed to the teeth. They're afraid for their lives, and even though we expect them to do their job the best way they can do their job. So here's what happened now. Because of the 80 murders and all the shooting, the police are very aggressive on the streets. They're getting complaints about shooting and murders left and right. So the police are gonna be on guard. So me as an innocent, law-abiding citizen who live in this community. Now, the whole community ain't corrupt with violence and gangs. Don't let anyone fool you with that. Everyone is involved in no gangs, and gangs ain't the biggest problem our country's facing today. Gangs is at least our worries. We have a social problem in our country, and that is we are a very violent nation. Right? Gangs is one thing, but we are a very violent nation. The minute any one of us get mad, we don't think for a minute. We want to grab a knife. We want to curse. We want to carry on. And we lose ourselves. And we go from 0 to 100. Because if you look at the two young men who shot and at the next young man who cost the life of the four-year-old, one of them are now in custody, if this is the right person in custody. Doesn't make sense for you to be in custody when you're doing an indictable offense that could take your life. You know, you didn't plan it out. You didn't plan it out. You didn't think about the consequences of that by you chasing after this person that you could kill someone who was not involved in your business. Now, how do you think you feel now? Going sitting on after you did that, you and your friend, and saying, boy, you hear that? Listen to the radio. What a sick boy. We killed a four-year-old. How do you feel now? Do you feel the same way as you looking to kill the young man who you're chasing after? You would feel much better killing him? Or do you feel much better killing the four-year-old who was innocent and hurt the lives, and you have to hear the cries of the mother and daddy? You know, you hear the daddy saying, I'm not a father no more. So wherever you are right now, both of you who are involved in this, I know y'all feel like S-H-I-T, and you should. Because there are consequences. You understand? You didn't plan nothing out. I'm not telling you to plan nothing out to take nobody's life. But these are the consequences when you make the decision. You have to think before you do anything. You have to plan. And because you didn't plan and you got mad, you let anger take the best of you, you know, you could have been home now. Just say no. Tell your friend, I don't think we should do it. You know? Let God do it. Because we look at all these sins in the country, eventually God steps in. I mean, either here they get killed or they go to jail for a long time who are doing serious crime in the country. You know? So you guys, I know you all feel terrible, and you should. So that's what the commissioner and that's what the Minister of National Security was talking about. But we have to get ahead of this. And I want to comment on the Prime Minister's statement when the Prime Minister says he is confident in the new Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando, and his initiative to fight violent crime. So I'm going to take this one call, and then I'm going to get back to my topic. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you on? I guess they left. Well,
yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening to you.
You know, I like to talk to you on these types of issues. Because why? Because you know the man on the street. You know the prison. You know, you ain't like some of them who visit the prison. You live in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you understand the street. So, you know, I like to give condolence to the loss of any life. You know, whether it's a child or even a criminal family, I give condolence, you know? And, you know, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
We got to realize, you got to show them that there are many people in the crime that are not killers. Right? Do you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Right. And those who do the killing, they're not afraid to die.
No, they're not.
They're not. So from you kill them, from the police kill them, or they kill themselves, that is not going to stop them from killing.
No.
Right? So, and many of them, they don't mean to kill a child. I'm sure of that.
No, they didn't mean to kill a child.
No, they don't mean
after
to
that, them. They meant to go after the intended target.
Right. And that ain't nothing new to the Bahamas. That's
no.
been happening in the U.S. a long time ago, where you have innocent bystanders.
Yeah.
So we must not lose focus on crime. Crime is not just murder.
No, it's not murder.
And you see, and the thing, it's not the kid in the rich man neighborhood who getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the child in the poor man neighborhood getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to go right back to that poverty thing. That's the issue.
Yes.
You see? Okay. You know, we have a thing with sports, right? We have no financing for sports in them inner city.
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's what
you
I'm
know,
talking
the other
about.
Day they commissioned government ground. Them in the city kids think, you how far? You ain't live very far from that government ground, right?
Government ground is only about 20 steps away from me.
All right. You see, I was seeing each kid playing on any ball or not. That ain't no access to them.
I mean, if you look at it now, there are some kids out there being active for the whole month or this summer.
You mean, what's his name? Oh, Lord. Papa Smith kids?
Papa Smith, you had some other kids, Odell, during some programs.
But that's the program, right? That's a summer program,
mm-hmm.
right? That's few and far apart. And
I agree.
I remember I did some work in the inner city with Mario Ford.
Okay.
You understand me? So I know we used to go down there to play.
Mm.
It's one time that they didn't want us on the diamond. They sent us on the outfield to play ball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, that park is for old men, right? And you have some parks in Bankers Field and Oak Field where they had that baseball tournament for them rich kids,
mm-hmm.
right? That ain't for them youths.
Mm.
You understand me? So we don't even have parks, baseball diamonds in the inner city for poor youths.
I agree. That's not constructive.
And even the baseball programs like Mario Ford. Man, them you got to pay to go in them camps.
Yeah.
You can't even afford to go in a camp in the inner city.
Yeah, I'm talking about the issue right now.
Right. So we got a beat, and then we got the number man who talking about having 10 shops in Haiti. Come on now, when are we gonna get a lotto? If the numbers man won't have their private thing, let them go ahead. Mm-hmm. But man, we need a national lottery.
Well, that's something. You brought up. I hope the powers to be listened to.
See, and I asked the Prime Minister Davis to correct that wrong. See, it ain't about no PLP, no FNM thing with me.
Mm.
You see, and you don't need to be in the house to... Me and you don't need to be in the house to affect change.
No,
because we can't do it.
Huh?
Me and you don't need to be in the house to be a member of parliament to affect change. We need advocates out here, not in that place. Then you go in that place, That's the problem.
Yeah, you get corrupted. I've made plenty, like I say, legislation passed and House of Parliament just working with places like Lady Cheryl Wilson, many others, Tommy Twankwest, and like you said, you don't have to be in Parliament to make change.
Good.
Yeah.
Watch one more thing.
Yeah.
You've been in a prison. See them people in, like, Scarlet Street, ain't never been in that prison.
Right? Yeah.
You go in that prison, any access to any book in that big jail?
Man, come on, man. Listen.
Or any other, even a law book?
Listen. Let's be honest. Prison. Listen.
That's the
just look at all hardened criminals. From Timothy Cole, my friend Samuel Mushin McKenzie, Julian Woodside, who's deceased, all of the hardened criminals who are name brand in the country, who had major cases in this country. Look at them. How have they been rehabilitated?
No.
And all the young guys who get charged with these serious major crimes, you see them in and out of prison. Like Meat Man, he just got killed the other day. I just talked about on season new show about 3 weeks ago, but Meat Man take his time. Now,
man,
Meat Man,
everybody
said,
talking with them. Look at all them said we ain't no killers.
That's what I said.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying now, right? All of them is in and out of prison. You understand? And if you think going to prison is going to change the mindset of individuals, then we should understand. We don't understand what the Minister of National Security said when he said 95% of persons in prison will eventually come back out.
What they talk of? Freedom is a must.
Right. So you know what that means for us? What it means for us?
Recycling, ain't no hope for them people.
Because up there is a university, in case we don't know.
What
we call it now?
You know what?
Fort Sill College?
Crime and who run it?
The prison.
The officers don't run the prison.
No,
tell
the prisoners.
Them who run the prison.
The prisoners run the prison.
And tell them the prisoners run the street too.
They run the streets too.
No gang.
Listen.
There's no gang. what do they call it? Organized gang.
Yeah.
Without police and politician involvement. Tell them that.
Listen, you have, the evidence is there. See, everyone in this society is running away from the evidence, and I'm glad you bring up the subject. We have had senior prison office officials, as far as inspectors who done do 35 to 40 years in prison, have now got busted with bringing illegal substance in Fox Hill Prison. We had numerous prison officers.
See,
no, that's what I'm saying. I've had numerous.
I've been there for freedom fighting charges, but because my people, they ain't open no street. And I used to go to jail for what you call it, obscene language and assaulting police officers. But only the police officers is the you call them, is the evidence against me.
Yeah,
and my people, they had the sense to go sign my bail.
Well, thanks anyway.
You know?
Yeah, respect.
So, let me show you.
They
can't even hold them light charges. They can't even hold a behemoth for no more than 14 days without giving them the opportunity to sign his own bill.
Yes.
And you understand me? The judge ain't gonna tell you that?
Yeah, well, anyway.
I don't believe minor charges.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, man.
Thanks a lot for your call. You made some valuable points, and it changed me in the direction also. That's why I said we're going to see a lot of police-issued shooting. And again, it goes to the prison. See, we are saying that when you do the time, you spend the time. Now listen, let's be real here. If you won't criticize me because you hear me on radio, and you might be saying, well, this young man, like, whatever. But I have facts. If you look at the persons charged before the court, you would see numerous prison officers are being charged with smuggling illegal substance in prison. Why would a prison officer whose job is to make sure that the prisoners in prison are there because of their punishment. Why would the prison officers who are the protect and serve also would actually be smuggling illegal drugs in the prison? What do they have to gain from that? It's because after a while, I'm a guy who was in prison. I get sentenced. Just say I get sentenced for 5-10 years. That prison officer is going to become my friend. Eventually, we're going to be friends. And then there's a system that we don't know goes on in the prison. He talked about the prisoners controlling the streets. Didn't the report just came in that there was a suspect in Fox Hill Prison? They searched his cell, right? They did a search of the prison. They found a cellular phone. In the cellular phone, there was a list of a hit list in the phone. And out of the hit list, three or four persons already died off the sit list. But yet we have not heard nothing from that. It's because prison is a different world. You understand? When these people get sentenced and go to prison, what we got to understand, just like how there's a governmental system, there's a prison system. And the prison officers and prisoners work together. Some prisoners are privileged because they senior, they know how the prison run, and they get the prison functioning. All right? So that's how serious trouble we in the country. You know, ifs and buts about that. We had numerous prison officers. We had numerous defense force officers now charged with armed robbery, illegal firearm. We had police officers charged for illegal firearm in this country, you know? So right now across the board, we really have to take a look at ourselves. You know, well, let me just go back to topic. I see Mariko Coakley. I see my sis. Nicole Lightwang is watching. I want to say thanks to everyone who's watching by Facebook. All right. Sorry about that. Let me get this back up. All right. Now, let me go to this comment. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is confident in the crime solution by the initiative set in place to fight violence by the new Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando. Let me just read the statement. I just want to read the statement. In the Nassau Guardian, it's reported, they following a meeting with Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando, yesterday, and like I said, yeah, I also tell you guys this. The Commissioner of Police is appointed by the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And we wouldn't really know that unless former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, he said that every Thursday, while he was the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he met privately with the Commissioner of Police to discuss confidential matters concerning the country. All right, and he said what's discussed between him and the Commissioner of Police is confidential and cannot even be discussed with his cabinet ministers, only him and the Commissioner, and that is kept confidential. All right, so he says, yeah, Prime Minister Philip Davis said he is confident the Commissioner's plan to stem the flow of violence in the country will produce results. In the last 7 days, there have been 6 murders. The latest victim was a 4-year-old boy who was shot and killed by 2 gunmen who pursued another man on Fleming Street, according to the police. I had a meeting with the Commissioner of Police this morning, and he unveiled to me some of the initiatives that they have been engaged in, continuing to engage in, and how they are beefing up those measures to bring some relief in short order, said Davis. When asked about the rising murder count, I think what he revealed to me will produce results. Okay. First of all, I personally know the Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando. When I was a criminal on the streets, and when I mean a criminal, I was a gangster and I was a drug dealer. I was a drug dealer for about 15 years, and I was in gangs for about 13, 14 years. And in that time, I've seen the majority of top cops I know personally. I didn't know the late, great B.K. Barnaby Sr. I know his son, B.K. Barnaby Jr. I know Paul Farquharson personally, because when I was involved in gangs and et cetera, we were presented in front of the top cops as gang leaders. I know former Commissioner of Police, who's now Ambassador, Greenslade. I get the final that he was my cousin. I know both Anthony Ferguson and Paul Rowe. Paul Rowe. I know Assistant Commissioner of Police. What's his name now? Oh, man, he's in Church of God on East Street. I get his name. But anyway, I know just about all the top cops in the country. And I've heard this before because, man, I was in a top gangster along with other top gangsters in the country. Most of these initiatives, what you see that the Royal Bahamas Police Force are talking about, these were solutions put in place for us back in the days. So this plan, what many of them are talking about, are plans that were ongoing 30 years ago in Oliver, in order to solve to slow us down. Now, it slows the activities down. Don't get me wrong. They come to the hot spot. They keep the spot hot. We can't stay in that spot because this is our spot. This is where we do our legal activity. This is where we assemble. So everyone comes to that spot. The police finds that spot out. They find Wallace hanging there. They get our name and they get off. So now we can't be walking around the street without the police, you know, harassing us, which that's what the police have to do because if we're involved in crime, in order to get us frustrated and to make sure they keep us from toting guns or settlement or put our plan together. So it works to a certain extent, you know. Some people are saying, yeah, the system is supposed to protect and correct the citizens. No abuse of power, you know, that has it. God needs to get his people right. That's what my sister is saying. You got Bobo Mikey, he's watching, and someone who is in prison has sent me a message. Yeah. Oh, I kind of got off track just now. Yeah, back to with the commissioner. And I've seen it, and it works to a certain extent. But what happens is that it keeps on building up because when the police target the leaders, right? And just say they're successful in frustrating us, and some of us give up the life of crime and start to live a normal life. We give up the gun, we try to become productive citizens. Some of us make it through. Some must stay in the game. The set who stay in the game and pressured by police are the ones who are not afraid to die. They eventually will die, but they have been shot at so much time. They've been to prison. They fight in the streets all the time. They get stopped. Some of these guys who we're talking about have gotten shot 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Some of these guys who you see on the nose, you know, before they get killed, some of them didn't get shot before. Sometimes these guys get shoot 2, 3 times. Some of these guys, some of these guys who you see we talking about on the streets or in the newspaper or being in prison, some of these guys have get shot multiple times from multiple enemies. I'm not talking sometimes they get shoot once, sometimes they get shoot 3, 4 times with gunshot. They don't get shoot twice. They get but 3 or 4 bullets in them. They come at the hospital, go back on the streets. The police are harassing them. They shoot at police. They go back in these communities. They get shoot again, right? Go in the hospital in a few weeks, 2, 3 weeks. They get healed up 2 months. They go back to try to get the guys, them who try harm them or try to kill them. And then, man, listen, these guys are tough. You know? These guys are tough. You know? And we have to change the mindset of these young men who are tough. They're tough, I'm telling you. If people want to be real, some of these guys who you see getting shoot on the streets, some of them be like in war. Like, for instance, let me just give a prime example of my life. I got shot at. Shot at means different enemies shoot at me, right? And that's over 23 different guys, not even including the police, all right? I'm going from Jude Pell. I'm going from Franz Pascal. I'm going from Jackson Clark. They call him Tupac in Paintown. You know? I'm going from Kelsey Lundy, a.k.a. Scrooge. I'm going from Marvin Bodie. I'm going from Arlington Butler's deceased. All right? I'm going to my own good friend. Let me see if he's good friends now. Franz Pascal. He fired at me 14 times with his 9mm and shoot my friend chicken in his back. All right? So I've had at least 23 different situations where I've been at gunpoint where guys shooting at me. Now, I can't tell you who I've been shooting at because, you know, in order for 23 different guys to be coming at me to try and kill me, and these guys who I'm talking about, they is top gangsters. Marvin Bodie, them is top gangsters over me. Kelsey Lundy, A.K. Shrewd, them was top gangsters over me. You know, they rank over me. Even though I was a top gangster, but these guys, them rank over me. You understand? These was the big guys like Dion Emperor, the late great Dion Emperor Knowles. These guys, them were the chief. You know, I was an upcoming chief. You know, and all these guys took a shot at me. And that didn't deter me from going to try and shoot at them. Until after a while, as I get older, I see there was nothing in it. My mindset started to change. I met Sir Lyndon, and that started to change my mind. You know, so these young men, I'm a tough old girl. You know, when you're talking about the police, that's why the police, the way they is, because the police are going at hardened guys who had a hard life. The country failed them. The community failed them. The church failed them. You know, we might say, you know, we can't have excuses for this man, or that's his choice. Well, this choice right now, that you say his choice, and that's his decision, and no one's responsible for that. Well, who's responsible for killing the four-year-old, right? Who's responsible for shooting at the police? Who's responsible for going to Pango Garden and shooting his friend, trying to kill the next human being, right? I think it goes way back, about 40 years, when we lose track and got in this PLP and F&M thing, when we're supposed to be in the people, and we stop empowering people. Instead, we empower the obligates of these political parties, both the PLP and the F&M. They get super rich, and that same money was supposed to be trickling down for small business and the health sports program year-round in the community, and et cetera. That goes in the hands of the elites of the party and those who receive contract. Now, this is a good thing because we want to empower Bahamian people. We want Bahamian people to become millionaires and et cetera. But then we got personal with it, and we stopped trickling it down. And because we stopped trickling it down now, and it's about who goes in government to make money, they go and just to make themselves rich. Here's a prime example of what I'm talking about. I've been listening to the statement made by the Honorable Barry Gladstone Christie, who's the former prime minister. And he's talking about, yes, Mr. Bryce, okay, let me see what I was going to say now. I was reading a statement. Oh, come on. I was just saying this now. Oh, Lord. You know, because this is real talk. But anyway, I can't remember what I was going to say this now. Ali, you remember what I was going to say this now? Where it gets so personal. I can't even remember. You got to excuse me, you know, because I just get personal with these things. Yeah, so I try to remember, man. Come on, school, come on. Anyway, let me try to get into the conversation. When you join the game, code is come alive. The only way you live is dead. So that's what you're saying, like, if you join a crew. Oh, sorry about that. Come on to this. One second. Hey. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I kind of lost track of what I was saying, so let me try. see what I can do. A caller?
Yeah, you started to say something.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you started to say something, but Terry Christie.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that because this is a live show and these are live events, so I have to recall all this stuff. I don't have these right down, you know, so I want to thank the caller very much. Yeah, I was talking about Terry Christie, and he said in a statement, he said in a statement that the government of the Bahamas, this government now, is going to pay close to $200 million of the Bahamian taxpayers to about 15 to 20 people who got lawsuits settled by the former administration. And coming in this term year, it's not this current government fault. They're going to have to pay off all of these settlement secret deals. And we're talking about Leslie Miller. We're talking about Clayton Fernando. We're talking about the BPL board. We're talking about 15 to 20 people. And that accumulate to $200 million. I was listening to the comments made by the former Prime Minister, Perry Glasson Christie. Have we ever considered of investing $200 million into about 200,000 people? But we could give $200 million out to settlements on the Bogleguins and the Negligans. A bad money management by a former government, right? And we're going to pay this out to about 10 to 15 people. But yet still we have four-year-olds getting killed in the streets, right? We have about 70-something murders already committed this year alone in the Bahamas, right? We have to watch out and hope we don't break the record set back in 2012 or 2013 when we had 147 murders. Right now we are 77. So we're on pace and it's just July. So we have August, September, October, November, and December. 5 more months. So I want to say to people out there, anyone listening to this, talk to your children. All right? Mothers, if you have a problematic son or daughter, talk to them. Let them know that this screen ain't playing. You get yourself in the argument with anybody or a problem with anyone, it's likely for you to lose your life. So if you're going to party in, go with the party. So if you see someone get an argument, if you can't stop it, go home. If you know where there's a hot spot, where there's been no shooting, don't go to the corner or don't go to the nightclub. All right? If you know there's a troublesome person who lives in the community, avoid them at all costs. All right? Stop gossiping about people, you know? Mind your own business. You know, some things you can interfere in if you see it's rightfully for you to interfere. Interfere. All right? You have to be able to save your life in this time. The police is going to come after the fact, you know? And I see, let me just read some of the comments. Why do people out on bail die? That is a setup for you to get killed. Or you want to know why people who are on bail get killed when they come back on the street. Here's the reason why. You get charged for murder. You go to prison. You go to a block with for hardened criminals, murders and attempted murders and rapists. So you're on this block. Everyone on this block probably have committed a serious indictable offense of murder or attempted murder or armed robbery. So when you get into argument because guys boast and brag, like how we talk about basketball, points Jordan score, how much points Kobe score, and et cetera. Well, in the prison, guys out there talking about how much people they kill. All right? So why stay in prison? The guys are having conversation. And they're talking about how much people they kill. So when you talk about you kill your one nigga, man, I didn't kill but 4 or 5 people. And then this one said, yeah, well, I killed your boy. You know? Now, they was done suspicious and didn't know, but this is prison. So when you get out of anger, because you're stupid, you're supposed to keep it more quiet. Yeah, that's why I killed your boy. And he said, what? You killed my boy? Oh, I see. It was you. I hear something like that. Boy, you know what? You know what time it is now? Huh? Well, the hell with you. You know, and so it's a back and forth. So it's going to be the first one who to set up the next one. So when you're released from prison, the guys have a connection on the streets because someone from prison just recently ran back on the streets. So when they go back on the streets and you come out, they prepared for you. So that's what's going on. There's a boasting and bragging thing going on in the prison. That's why you see a lot of retaliation. And then information get out who did the shooting last year or 6 months ago or 2 years ago. And why is we arguing in prison? All this comes out. And then this is taken to the streets. So that's why. And there's a lot of people in this country hurting because they are brothers and sisters. So when you take the lives of a loved one, I tell you, the only way we respond, this is the way of the bombers now. The only way we respond is going from 0 to 100, and that's violence. All right? And that's how we respond. So when this guy goes to the barber shop, like we're seeing on the newspaper, in the news, and he goes to get his hair cut, when he was charged with killing somebody a year ago, so when he's going to the barber shop, someone's going to spot him going to this barber shop. Someone's going to send a message, but you don't believe what I see. I just see a boy. What? So this young gentleman sitting there with his two friends, smoking a drink, probably drinking a bottle of Hennessy. He said, where he is? Yeah? He believe he big and bad? Listen, that guy, if it's broad daylight, right? And he had a name call. He ain't worrying about no police or nobody. All he mind fix on is you. You know? So when that poison call, say he right up here, all that poison mind going in. All he want is his gun. So he'd go and run for his gun. And sometimes we so anxious, he wouldn't even find his gun right then and there. Because I can remember instances where I was so hot to get this poison that I ran to my spot where I had my gun. I dig up this whole yard looking for my gun. And I couldn't find it. And it was right there in my eyes. But God just allowed me to find it right there and there. I had to calm down. And then 30, 40 minutes later, I found it. Guess where it was? I was standing on it all this time. Do you understand? So some guys is running, go get the gun. Then you open the barbershop. They see the patrol car. I let the patrol car pass. And they go on their business. And they go upstairs. And they only looking for you. Because we watch how these guys got killed in these barbershop. You see where they pass regular customers. And they just went to that poison. And they just, blam, blam. And they didn't make sure you're dead. Then they turn around and run back out. It's crazy in the Bahamas. We're going to take this last call. And then I'm going to close the show. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what's going on, Scoozy?
Everything good, cuz?
Yeah, you didn't say that, and I didn't know if I was on.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
You give me a good laugh just now, you know? You give me a good laugh with the jail scenario, with the talking, the yapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the repercussions of the discussions, right?
Yes.
You get on it. So, but yeah, man, you call my brethren name. I don't call any name up from the area, you know what I mean, up on the hill there. But that's my brethren.
Yeah, the chief, my Woody. You know,
listen to me, man. Of course, me remember all of my brethren, Richard Barnaby, them and things.
Yeah.
So, he just nickels me a couple of times, you know what I mean? All of them, you there. Just everybody you, like, from I even not even call any name, all the Cardi them and things. And all them, you see what I'm saying?
All them.
So, it's like we live so long. Excuse me, you ain't never know you've got a police friend, right? Don't lie.
Huh?
You never know he's got a police friend in life, eh?
No, I never know he's got a
police
friend.
Yeah, but guess what? Believe you me, right? I ain't going to promote no thing up with no hit list, because you know, the thing that's here saying thing. You know? Man, you know them Babylon, them good. Them Babylon, the blue wall, they have their blue wall of silence, so same thing likewise.
Yeah.
Them man, them run the country, man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is be done in closed doors. They get
of
away
course.
What they could get away with. You know, if they do something to the you got to produce the evidence, same way. That's why they don't produce the body cam, so
yeah.
They know the scam. You see what I'm saying? The ghetto, you can stay at the bottom end of the stick.
Yeah.
You see your boy Gardner, it's a real still.
Yeah.
Well, some days, like you could get on the radio and say things. Some days I'd be ashamed to even discuss the things, the inglorious things that I've been mixed up in, right? But they come to the old man house a couple of times for some serious thing though, you know what I mean? But all of them man, them name you call come from, some, me and them come from some James Road and the Goway and all them thing there, you know?
Yeah.
I assure you, man, so long life is better than health and strength. So people who could help and give wisdom, just guide ourselves, but all them you they grow up, you know.
Yeah.
You see they saying? Emperor, them all us come from St. James, all brand them, everybody mm-hmm. come. See, but what they saying is long life is bring wisdom. So through the government ain't willing to invest the money And the UDM, you see your boy from being down, Oxen Jackson, right?
Oxen Jackson.
That's my brethren. You know, I hate to see him like that.
Yeah, he's kidney problems now.
Dialysis. Yeah, but you know what happened from jail?
Yeah, the water.
Yeah, so the water. That's what I'm trying
to prison
tell
water is terrible.
He teeth my water the first day.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, you see your boy Gardner remind me of a time when me and one of my brethren going downtown by Lums. He had a white girlfriend. And he's a dog, a brethren, mm-hmm. right? He's from Abaco. He had money and things like that. So we going downtown. He had planned to get out of these girls. And they're from London. So like the police must have got mad. So that's when they're telling you, oh, don't do your loafing. I don't know what's going on. They never do want black people down, even up in the 90s and things, man. So I end up in a little fight with the Babylon. You know, I end up busting him, kicking him down. He's a single, little weak little youth. And I run, break up running, man. And they catch me to the corner by the bus stop. And they ragging me, right? right? And I got me to the side on the light pole, bro. And the Babylon tell me, sit down. And I say, sit down. But he kicked me down, you know, all in the front of the two or some all of the people.
You know, police never used to play back in the days, man. These jokey police
used to
play back in the
days. Yeah, but what they're doing, right? Then
I know, we know that.
Central, right?
We know that.
And they found who the old man was, right? The old man might have been superintendent or ASP or inspector at the time. I chief inspector. I can't remember which one. But then, why don't you, as a friend, I mean, as a brethren, let's describe to the public the conditions of the Central Police Station bathroom.
You want me to describe it?
And then, hold on, Brendan. I got a joke for you before. Hey, Brendan, I got a joke for you. I mean, we're talking about the DOI. I got a joke for you. All the prisoners stand up with the rum in the cell.
The prison officer bring it in? Well, how do you think this? How the fool get in the cell?
Cool, cool.
He was in the police bus. The prison bus. Cool Brace.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Yeah, he wanted to like him.
He was the coolest. He's one of the coolest police.
Something that go wrong with him. He opened a GoFundMe account. He'll get more blame him.
Man, Cool Brace helped a lot of prisoners, man.
But not, you see, he was human. He was a phone call.
Cool Brace is cool.
How you could hate a brethren like that?
No, he was cool.
And the other big dread, too. He used to live in Big Pond. His mother was a police, too. The big, big fat guy.
I know what you're talking about.
We used to call him the wall.
That's
he's heavy.
Yeah, that's what his name now, man.
I can't remember his name, but he's from Big Pond. His brother was Keith. You see, the thing is, Scoochie, I think we got to contribute, like, you know what I mean? You're doing a great thing up that way, but I think, I listened to Carlos Reed, he was right on 99% of the stuff he's saying, but, you know, the thing is, he can't say it's not gang-related and it's not over turf, because it originally started over turf and the little thing, them shop, them thing and all them, and some of the youth, them get greedy. See, what I realize about life as humans, right, we're not really, really capable, or we don't want to really acknowledge what is really reality. The Bible that they gave me and you, right, brother? Let's go biblical now. It says a war was in heaven. Right or wrong?
Huh?
I'm saying it's a war was in heaven.
You're talking, bro. You don't need to hear from me. See, you don't need to listen. You talking. See, listen. You talking. You don't need to talk.
It's always a desire.
You don't need to talk to me. Hey, you don't need to talk to me. You have an audience, so you don't have to talk to me. You understand? So don't you? You don't need to talk to me.
It could always be the desire for power.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to show these people why the global leaders, they have enough money to last them for 50 lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't about no money. They're about controlling the global plantation. They talking about global village.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a global village. This is a global plantation. When you see our PM, St. John's College chat group, I respect Bray, but when I see the Minister of Health, Scoochie, I guess some stuff I could bring on next week. You know, I just had a little youth born, right?
God bless you, man.
Yeah, man. You know, and you see how old he is, right? But the little youth still in the piddle, he got the little jaundice thing there. My daughter's born with more weight than him.
Right.
But kind of, you know, in a little deep mood. It's the first time it ever happened to me. He's still in the hospital in one of those LED photo spectrum thing that mimics the ultraviolet layers of the sun, the rays of the sun, you know what I mean? Trying to bring down the jaundice thing, right? And the little soldier looked just like me. So it kind of, like, that's on my mind. But, you know, all in all, I like to thank the staff up there, but I got some stuff to bring out that the public needs to hear, man, you know, and the Minister of Health has to be held accountable because he didn't implement these measures, but some of these measures, these biosecurity paradigms, really need to be done away with, Scoochie.
Well, we know that.
Scoochie, but what are they paying tax for, Scoochie? I can't go in the hospital because of coronavirus. Mm. And these men are upholding the global order with slave-like subservience.
Yeah, I understand.
Scoochie, how we can make it like that?
Listen, the only thing I do is keep on trying and get your voice out there.
Give thanks, you know. Give thanks, man. Yeah. Bless up, man. Keep up the works, you know. Yeah. Job works.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I got some comments here. My cousin Rico Coakley said, only politics are getting the money, you know. A friend from prison sent me this. He said, Big Brother Scrooge. Say, it's be Big Jocko in the shower in the bathroom at Her Majesty's prison. And Ice be in fear for my life. And the matter is not be reported to the general public. Yeah, stabbing goes on. And this is a prisoner sending this to me. He's listening to the show live. And he's saying there's be big stabbo in the Bahamas Correctional Center. They're saying they're looking to go private now. I don't know what these people thinking. All right?
Okay.
So I want to go back again. And like I say, you know, I know Clayton Fernando personally. He was a top cop. He was a sergeant. And then I think when I eased my life out of violent crime and selling drugs, he went up to inspect, and then he went up the ranks. And he himself was subject to violent crime. If you could remember a few years back, Clayton Fernando himself was robbed and shot. And he underwent extensive surgery. He almost lost his life. And his assailants were convicted within a two-year period. Their case was fast-tracked to the Supreme Court, and they was convicted, and they're now serving a scratch at Her Majesty's prison, at least the Bahamas Correctional Center. And when he said he's confident in the primer says he's confident in the crime solution that Fernandez put forward. All of these measures that you can see were put forward to deal with gang violence in the country about 25 to 30 years ago. I can name the many different squads came out, like November Squad, you know, the Task Force, you know, all kind of different squads they put out. During my tenure, I used to get locked up every Christmas. My constitutional rights were taken away. I can remember once it hit December 15, 20. It was a roundup of all the gang leaders in Nassau. So if you got caught home, you would spend 3 to 4 days in the cell so that you would not be able to go and disrupt John Canoe. So all this was to stop us from going down to John Canoe. So a lot of these strategies and programs that you see, an initiative that the Royal Bahamas Police Force are implementing right now, they are being run from the time myself, like Marvin Bodie, Stephen Dye Stubbs, Kelsey, a.k.a. Lundy. We have blacks down in Bantan. You know, we call them blacks. Everyone know blacks. It's one of the leaders down there. You had Jackson Clark, Tupac, you know, Dion Emperor knows who's now deceased, and many of the top gangsters and drug dealers. These initiatives were put in place for us back 30 years ago. If they work, they slow us down. But listen, the communities are the same. Okay, let me give you a prime example. When the top gangster, it was between after we were the top gangsters, Stephen Kelsey Lundy, Marvin Bodie, James Charles, Franz Pascal, myself, Jackson Clark. You know, after our time, it came Samuel Moose McKenzie and Stephen Dye Stubbs' time. Now, they were the ones who took it to a whole completely different level. You know, they had a different breed of guys, hardened criminals who were their henchmen. And the country say, you know what? The police went after Samuel Mushin McKenzie, the police went after Stephen Dye. Stephen Dye stops spending about 35 years in prison. He is in prison, right? Did crime stop? Did the murder stop that when Stephen Dye Stubbs, who they said was the one responsible for serious crimes in the country? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, evidence-wise, they don't have none. He only got convicted for shooting the police officer a few years ago, 15 years ago, Ambrose, downtown. He's convicted of that. So what I'm saying is this. Did crime slow down? No. Did the murder slow down? No. And he was in prison, right? Samuel Mujim McGinsey was killed in 2006. I can remember this. Because I cried, that was my friend. You know, that was my boy. You know, one thing about him, he would never bring no one in the community unless he brought him to me. And said, it's my big brothers who bring me and who never disrespect him. You know, he would always do that, you know. And despite his differences with people, you know, for the people who knew him, he was a real good guy. But for those who don't know him, you know, that's the way our things was. You know, I wish we were not like that, but certain situation, you know, prison changed him. Prison make him into a beast, you know. He became a beast in and out of prison, you know. He got killed. He was shot 15 times. You know, one guy shot him 15 times with a two-hand gun, and they used two-hand 40 on him. When he died, did the murder rate stop? Everyone, some people were jumping him and dying when he died. And, you know, did the murder stop? No. It's because it's beyond them. It's beyond Stephen Dye Stubbs. It's beyond Samuel Mujim McKenzie, who's dead. It's beyond Randy was gangsters, Valentin O'Brien. It was beyond Marvin Booty, because we were training other young guys. Or other guys were implementing us. Like how Kobe wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Jordan watched Dr. J, and he wanted to be like Dr. J. You understand? So it's the same thing out here. All right? So when we go, when I get killed, or when I go to the jail for a certain amount of time, but that essence has passed on to the next generation. And there's other guys like me. There are other guys out there like Samuel Mushin McKenzie. There are other guys out there like Stephen Dye Stubbs. All right? When they get killed, they already train some other young guys. And when them young guys time up, because they reside in this community, it passed on to the next generation. So what it takes from us is that we're going to do major investments in these communities. You know, we're going to spend over $200 million on 15 behemoths who won their lawsuit, or the government, or this government has given them their secret settlement agreement, a confidential settlement agreement, all right? And that's going to total $200 million. You know? It's crazy. You know? And that four-year-old who got killed innocently, like I said, my heart goes out to the mother and the father, to the family. You know? If we look back in the last administration, there was a kid during their homework when a bullet, similar situation, came to the wall and struck the kid. Then a similar situation again in Dayton, where a young man was fighting with the next gentleman and then a fine off the gun and struck the next young kid. No. So the Prime Minister is confident in the programs that the current Commissioner Clayton Fernando is the Commissioner of Police now, and a four-year-old just got killed. Clayton Fernando was the Deputy Commissioner a month ago, and people were getting killed under his watch. Clayton Fernando have been on the Royal Bahamas Police Force probably over 30 years. And in his 30 years as a top cop, one of the best cops in the country, and with a team of some of the greatest investigators and team of the best police officers in this part of the hemisphere. And during their tenure every year, in the last 10 years, the murder count was over 100. So what possible initiative that the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, is a solution? You tell me. Clay Fernando can't stop crime no more than me and you as citizens can stop crime. He is only a man with a uniform. All right, when he goes to bed, he gets a report about who get killed and who get shoot. When he's to work, he gets a phone call on who gets robbed, who gets raped, and et cetera on a daily basis. You know? And if people saying it's just a handful of people, you people crazy. I live on Lewis Street, where not one day from my being living have I seen or not heard the ambulance going up East Street Hill at least 10 times a day. And of the 10 times of the day, we always see a patrol car in the front, ambulance in the back, hauling ass going over East Street. Sometimes ambulance with a hearse. Huh? Just the day alone, you know how much ambulance was going over our East Street today? With people who get shot or stabbed? Hmm? Is Clayton Fernando going to be able to solve this? Listen, the only way to solve this, if we invest in the prison, with real rehabilitative programs, we invest in the inner city community, with homes, small businesses, cleaning up the community, finding constructive ways on how we can bring employment in the inner city community. We have to invest in the schools to make sure we have a food program, a scholarship program, a trade program in the schools. Hey, we have to make sure that there's community centers in these communities to sustain that particular community in the churches. Getting funds from the government and the private sector to make sure that all the kids that are in the church are well taken care of. All right, for the community leaders who are doing community programs in the community, they also need to be funded so they could step up and check up on the kids, you know, make sure that they could get exactly what the kids need in order to survive, you know, the tablets, the education, the checking up, you know, to make sure that they're doing the right things, you know. We're going to have to invest serious. We're going to pay $200 million to about 15 or 10 behemoths. All right? $200 million. And many of them were before the courts, or many of them were sued the government because of unfair contract breaches at BPL. And they won their case and they won their settlement. But we're going to pay $200 million. But we are four-year-olds, children, getting killed out here, and we're not investing. Come on, man. So that's why we're going to have a lot of police issue shooting. We're going to have a lot of innocent children. We're going to have a lot of innocent people get killed in this country. And prepare yourself to have 100-plus murders every year. And you better pray to yourself and keep yourself safe. Learn from all these murders. And try to avoid hot spots. Okay? Watch your surroundings. Watch how you talk to people. Right? When you want these jobs and stuff and you the boss, watch how you talk to people, because these people can leave from the job and you don't know who they connected to by you insulting them and treating them unfairly, and they could set persons up to come and harm you or take your life. All right? Preserve your life, people. The Bahamas is in a crisis. We have many solutions, but we are not utilizing the solution to maximum benefit. All right? And we go in these communities, the ratchet communities right now, you'll see kids hanging on the streets till about 10, 11 o'clock. And eventually, one day they're going to be a criminal. One day they'd be one of the young men who the police are pursuing now, who innocently killed that four-year-old, one of these kids are going to come out to be just like that. These communities are not fit for kids to have a future. We have to equip these communities, community centers, the community leaders, church leaders, finding ways to bring empowerment into communities, building homes, repairing homes, cleaning up and removing abandoned houses and putting something constructive there. Remove all the ILAC vehicles. Get rid of the rats. Bring beautification to these communities. Bring social empowerment to the communities. Bring trades that can be sustainable in these communities. You know? We have to empower persons in these communities. There are too many poor people that reside in these communities. And if many people were able to become successful in these communities, they could ease the burden and stress of that particular community. Could you imagine having 20 business owners reside in that community? How we could collaborate together. I listened to assistant, I think superintendent of police, Ms. Skippins, and she is on Zedness News, and she was talking the fact that, you know, we need the community to let us know the problems that people are facing. So she's saying that if there's two young men in that community who have a problem, they're having a beef with one another, we could find ways and how we could get the information to the police officers or to the church, and we could collaborate together to see how we could sit down these two young men before this escalate. Now, let me give you a good example of why it can work. Right now, the police have one of the police now, let me see. The police now in the scene where the young gentleman shot his friend, right? Who was, when they were trying to kill a next young man. Now, he targeted himself. The one who was getting shot at, he targeted himself because he feared for his life and he's in police custody. So he ended up telling the police who the two young guys who were shooting at him, their names, right? So now the police was able to use information and pull up their files. Now the police was able to apprehend one, and fact one, turning himself to the police station. So you could imagine if, instead of this young man, had to get shoot at, right, for him to cooperate with the police and tell the police, well, who the two gentlemen is who were shooting at him. And the police were able to use that information and go and arrest with this young, one of the young men, turning himself now, because now he knew he killed his friend, and the guy he was shooting at know him personally. So he had no choice but to turn him himself. So if we live in these communities, right, we could have probably present, we probably could have prevented that four-year-old from getting shot if we knew the circumstances and the background of the situation involving the three young men. Because if I'm the community leader or I'm the church leader and I'm active in the community and I'm good with people, and I know the people, and there's a problem, well, I could get information from woman, the mom or daughter, one, the auntie or the neighbor. And then they could say, well, who your son have a problem with? And then they could write it down. And then you could say, well, I could bring him to you, and we could talk confidential, and he could give you the information, because most guys don't want to talk because they want to be macho. They don't want to talk to nobody because they want to be macho. They want to deal with the situation themselves. But if we get them closed door with their parents, and the police and social service, then he could say, well, you know what, this is the guy I have a problem with. I have a problem with Samuel Mushi McKenzie, okay? Me and him have a beef. What the beef about? Well, I steal his gun, or I involved with his girlfriend, so we know the situation. So we could go to Samuel Mushi McKenzie, ask the police and say, hey, I know you have a beef with this young man, and I wanted to let you know that if anything happened to him, you're going to be our first suspect, and we're going to let you know that we could be on to you to make sure that nothing happened to the young man, you see? And then you could probably use that as a dialogue now, because now you could talk to Samuel Mushi McKenzie and see how you could pull these two young men together to squash this disagreement between his friends and your friends. And that's why I said we're going to have to screen the community. We're going to have to screen the community leaders who reside in this community. We're going to screen the neighbors so that we can have reliable information on how we can help one another. It takes a neighbor to effort in order to stop this crime. And it comes from top to bottom. So we got to deal with the prison. We're going to have to deal with the community. Okay? And we're going to have to empower people in the community. Because if we empower people in this impoverished community, then people will start to follow that trend. Remember, blue jeans, Everyone is just wear blue jeans because that's a trend. That's a mind thing, all right? And I changed my life when I was a top gangster, eh? And that's when my mind changed, when I started to see that it's a different world out there. There's things I can do to better my life. What about me owning a house? What about me owning a car? What about me taking my wife out, my kids out to dinner, where I don't have to watch my back? You know? And that's when my mind changed, when I started to meet people like Sir Lyndon, Debbie Bartlett, Missy Lynn Pinder, Brent Simonette, Lucas Metropolis, Alexander Melis. You know, I never met these people like in my lifetime, but as I started to meet them, my mindset changed because these people were living in a whole different world. You know, they didn't even know nothing but our world until I had a conversation with them. You know? Yeah, man. I see my friend Nate is watching. I want to say respect, Nate. Nate the Great. Let me give a couple shout-outs to a lot of poison. D'Angelo. What is it? Oten. I want to say good night to you. Tori Nemo. And again, my assistant Nicole, a light burn, saying, keep the faith. Yeah. So preserve your life, people. You know, mothers and fathers out there, if you have a child who is problematic, you know, he's involved in, you know, and like I say, it's bigger than gang. I'm going to tell you this now. We have bigger issues than gang. Because a lot of people are not involved in gang. A lot of people are just mad from 0 to 100. All right? They have mental issues. A lot of health issues in this country needs to be addressed in this country. A lot of people are going through mental health issues in this country. A lot of people are sick. Physically and mentally sick. And that 2 year of COVID period has just put the screen on me and people. All right? So, yes, I feel that the police checking these hotspot, making their presence felt, slows it down tremendously. But listen again. There's more Samuel Mushi McGinsey. There's more Stephen Dye Stubbs out there. There was more Marvin Bodies out there. There was more Valentino Scrooge Brown out there. There's more all the people who were menaced to society. They just be reincarnated in different body. And here's why I'm going to say it before I go. Look at the 3 incidents that I talked about earlier in the show. Assailants intended to kill the enemy, instead shot his own friends. Similar. 3-year-old was shot. 4-year-old was shot in the car, in the arms of his mother, and in the presence of his father. Isn't this similar? Okay? 3 shot in high speed chase from police. Isn't this similar? So if people say this is just a very select few people, you've got to be crazy. All right? We have 1,800 poisons in prison. Right? But this is what they don't tell you. How many people are out on bail? And how many people are charged with serious or dietable offense in this country? So if you look at it besides the 1,800, and if you look at it with how many people on bail, you're looking at close to about 15,000 to 20,000 criminal or 30,000 criminal cases in this country. Besides the 1,800 in jail. And why they keeping at 1,800 is because people in and out, you know, get bail and come out. So it keeps at the 1,800 pace. But if you look at all the criminal cases we have before the court, you see how many backlogging cases we have, and they only could try about 9 murders per year. Could you imagine that? So if you're having 100 murders per year, and we only could try 9 to 10 murders per year, right? I think we only have about 9 to 15 Supreme Court judges. Okay? If I'm correct. All right? So you could imagine. So there isn't going to be a justice for a long, long time. All right? Because there's no way the Bahamas government or the Bahamas judiciary system can actually handle 100 murders, 100 murder cases per year. They can't even handle 30. So if we have 100 murders in the last 10 years, how are we ever going to get justice? So you know what it means? These guys who charge with the offenses, they're going to be on the streets. And they're going to pollute the community that they live in. Right? Because they're not rehabilitated. And like I tell you, if these communities don't have no thousandaires, no millionaires, no infrastructure, no community centers, no empowerment zones, hey, no jobs, you know, just where kids running wild, doing what they want to do, and just waiting to go sleep at 11, 12, get ready for school in the morning. After 3 o'clock, they hang in the streets. No program to go to, no trading classes to go to, no church to go to, hey, nothing that can motivate you, these kids are going to. They just hang in these streets, throwing rock and ball, fighting, cursing, having sex at a young age, doing what they want to do because the grown-ups don't even check for the kids no more. Parents seems to just let the kids do what they want nowadays. So it comes again to the community. And that's why community leaders are so important. That's why programs are so important. That's why we're going to invest in these communities. All right? Like I said, I see Frankie P is watching. Respect, Frankie. And like I said, I've been through this situation. And let me tell you something why I say young men ain't afraid to die until they get catch in a situation that puts pressure on them. All right? I just told you guys I was shot at 23 different times. And about 3 times from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Man, I was in a situation where I ended up having altercation with the police on our moves. All right? So that's like 26 times I've been shot at. And when I'm saying I'm being shot at people, I'm talking with 9mm, 45, 38, 20, 25, shotgun, Uzi people. All right? And these were serious, serious guys. All right? And that didn't faze me. You know, I had to grow out of it. So we are facing that same dilemma with a lot of these young men. And like I say, a lot of these young men out there, some of them have got shot multiple times. So we have to soften them up. We have to create a community that can be able to sustain the kids. Programs that are feasible and accessible to them in these communities. The church is working with them. We have a plan on how we can teach them trades, and we have a plan on how we can empower them in their respective community. We're going to fix these houses where these kids live. We want to get rid of these one-bedroom homes where kids are watching their parents having multiple partners, cursing and crying on the kids are using picking up these ways, carrying them to school to the teacher. And then the parents, you know, when the teacher chastised the child, the parent comes to the school and wants to fight the teacher. You know? So, watch your surroundings, people. You know? Stay away from the hot spots. Preserve your life. 70-some people have lost their lives beaming people. And tomorrow or tonight could be me, you. Right? That innocent young child didn't do nobody no wrong. But because 3 young gentlemen have an altercation and they take it out by using violence, and they took the life of an innocent young kid. So watch your surroundings, our people. You got your life in your own hands. And like I say, stay away from argument. If you have a neighbor, you don't get along, try avoid that person as much as possible. If you have a beef with somebody on out there, like Skipping said, let a local pastor know. Talk to a police officer and see and try your best to see how you can get some type of help. All right? Don't be like the guy who caused the little guy, little girl, I mean little boy got shot, where he only was able to tell the police who was shooting at him because now his life was in fear. He cost the life of that young lady, I mean a young boy, and he feels responsible, and then he told the police who the next assailant is. And I want to close it on this. For me, it brings back memory. I was in a similar situation about 25 years ago, and I cost the life of my friend Keno Roberts. Some guys from Baintown, three guys were shooting at me. My friend Gino Pratt, Ronald Bummer Pratt, who's now deceased, and Don Pratt, who's now deceased. And it was all my fault. I stopped a guy earlier that day. He came back looking for me, and he found me where we used to hang, our hotspot. Just like how the police go to the hotspot, they know where we were hanging. I was standing up, me, Gino, and Bummer. And as I was walking, this guy and three other guys opened fire at us. The both of them missed me, missed Gino Pratt, we call him Cat, missed Bummer, missed me, and killed an innocent young boy, Keno Roberts. You know, and up to this day, I see it like yesterday. And I know deep down inside, he is dead because of me. So just like how that four-year-old got killed, you know, I was in a similar situation 25, 30 years ago, and I caused somebody to lose their life. You know, Keno Roberts, and I could see it just like this. So I just want to say, I do this because I have done wrong. And I do my best to see how I can make a difference in this country, to get the powers to be, to invest in small business, invest in home repair, invest in the community, invest in community centers. And if we could, we need local government, because local government can solve a lot of these problems in this country. So I want to say to all who listen, I hope you enjoy the show. And I just want you to know from deep down in my heart, I do this because I want to make a difference in the lives of those who are listening in my country, because I feel that our country is headed in the wrong direction. And this is my redemption. So drive safe. Have a wonderful night. And to all the callers and all the Facebook friends, I'll see you next week on Inside Inner City. And keep yourself safe. 70-some people have been killed, and we're on record pace for 147. Please, stay away from altercations, stay away from hotspots, stay away from clubs, all right, to preserve your life so that you will not be the next victim. See you next week on Inside Inner City.
Life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling grieve me. But I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baintown, bro. Boy, I from Baintown, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baintown, bro. Boy, I from Baintown, bro.
Baintown, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. Boy, they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baintown, bro. Boy, I from Baintown, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke it on, bro. Boy, I from it on, bro. Bro, bro.
Ah, my son, that boy, what happened? Why you do some leaving? All out. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas. Bigger Bintan, bro.
What?
Boy, I from...